On today's episode of The Good Word with Goodwill, Marcus Thompson joins us to discuss why the Lakers always change head coaches, the changing of the guard amongst NBA superstars, and the complicated relationship between the Golden State Warriors and Draymond Green. All that and much more on today's episode of The Good Word.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. We are part of the Ball Don't Lie Network. Get us wherever you get your podcast. And we are always and also on YouTube. Today is the day we have a guest. He is one of the three best writers in this entire industry. I don't even know who the third person would be, but it would definitely be... It would definitely be you, Marcus Thompson, and Myron Fader. You two are my two favorite writers in the business. I can be humble enough to say, hey, when there's people better than me, I can say it out loud. And Marcus is...
Cap.
Not even lying.
Cap.
Not lying.
Cap.
Let me get through this intro. Marcus Thompson II. Of course, you all know him. Bay Area, The Athletic, Warriors expert, San Francisco 49ers expert, quietly. You know, he knows everybody on the inside of that.
That's funny.
He's an author, of course, which is different than a writer. He's got books on Stephen Curry, book on Kevin Durant, and a book on the 10 best dynasties in NBA history, which I found really, really fascinating.
And hey, of course, we're going to tell you about that, by the way.
What's that?
People were like mad at me for putting the Pistons in. Isn't that crazy, bro? Isn't that crazy?
Why would it matter if you put the Pistons in there?
I'm like, if the Pistons are the dynasty, there's like three dynasties ever. And what's the fun in that? Yeah. I was getting a little smoke about that.
You see why people in Detroit walk around with this chip on their shoulder, right?
You know, Detroit just like Oakland, man. So I already know.
We cousins out here.
You know what I'm saying? Straight up.
Well, of course, we're going to talk some Warrior stuff. We're going to talk some a little bit of the Phoenix Suns. But first, Marcus's colleagues at The Athletic dropped something this morning on a growing disconnect between Darvin Ham and the Lakers locker room. Of course, ironically, I'm going to say ironically because it would sound a little different way. But the day after the Lakers dropped below 500, boom, we got something coming out about, you know, how this works. But Jovan Buha and Shams Charania co-authored the piece. They said six sources talked about, you know, let's just say not being happy with Darvin's rotations, the starting lineup, and where the team morale is right now. Marcus, are you surprised that there's discontent in Lakerland, or is this just kind of what happens when you're a Laker and when you're on LeBron James's team?
Yeah, this is the least surprising thing of all time, right? Like, they've lost two of their last eight games, right? Or two of their last 10, or they've won, I'm sorry, two of their last 10, 2-8 over the last 10. You already know, Vin. Come on. That's a recipe right there. And Darvin Ham is such the perfect target, right? Inexperienced coach, new, just clearly getting a feel for the building a team process. He's the perfect scapegoat. And, you know, obviously there's some issues with Darvin Ham, but yeah, this is the least surprising thing of all time. I mean, look, Steve Kerr got people coming for his head. He's got four championships, so Darvin Ham definitely ain't safe out here in these streets. David Blatt might call him, right? Like, hey, man, here's how this is about to go down.
David Blatt, who I thought was one of the funnier NBA coaches I've ever been around. Oh, my God, he was so overmatched. Seemed like a nice guy, but just so insecure and so overmatched, right? One thing I have noticed, Marcus, about the Lakers, and this precedes Darvin Ham and everything else, after they fired Pat Riley in 1990, okay, that was 33 years ago, they've had one coach spend more than like 3 years there. And that was Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson, yep.
And they fired Phil Jackson, right? brought him back, fired him again. And then when he tried to come back, they said no. So clearly the Lakers are not one of these franchises that says, hey, you know what? The coach is a guy that's going to make it happen. They will fire Pat Riley. They will bring in like people like Randy Fund. You know what I mean? They will fire Dale Harris. They will fire anybody. So Darvin Ham, that's just par for the course.
I mean, the whole dynasty was built on this idea of, hey, the coach could get up out of here, right? I mean, it started with Magic being like, yo, I don't want to play for this dude no more. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Magic demands a trade.
Yep.
And Magic stays, obviously, signs 25 years for $25 million, and the coach is up out of there. At that point, it was very clear the Lakers are a franchise about the star. And it's a part of the DNA. Like, that's what it is. The star will always win out. I mean, you could just think how many good coaches, like, coached for the Lakers and had a miserable time with the Lakers, but ended up being really good coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be an interesting thought project. But you think about, like, Mike Brown got ran up out of there. Got ran up out of there, boy. It turns out he's a good coach. But, you know, when you're driven and when you are centered around your superstar, coaches don't stand a chance, bro. They don't stand a chance. It's all bad. No.
And here's the crazy thing for the Lakers, Marcus. LeBron is playing as well as you can expect someone of his age and experience playing, right? He's only missed a couple of games this year. Anthony Davis.
And he's playing hard too, bro. Like, he's playing hard. It's impressive, Marcus, actually.
He's playing hard and got lit up by Jaime Jaquez last night. Jaime Jaquez saw LeBron on the block and said, lunch meat pops, and gave him a bop bop fadeaway. That's almost when it's a sign that it's time to go. When the rookies no longer have the fear factor of you and they see you and they like, lunch meat? Oh, man, that's got to be the most humbling experience, right? And then Anthony Davis playing hard, defensive player of the year. You look at the numbers, you look at the metrics. He's out there beasting it, and it has no effect on winning. That's got to be really sobering for both of those dudes, because at some point, one of those dudes going to get hurt. And then it's really going to fall off the rails unless they make a personnel move.
I think this is a symptom of a larger issue that we're seeing around the league.
Okay.
These old heads are getting cooked out here, bro. Remember, there was a time. It wasn't that long ago. Mr. Goodwill, it was not that long ago when if LeBron went off, Steph went off, KD went off, Clay went off, Dame went off. Like, that's ball game. Like, you up by 30 and it's over. And these youngsters is like, nah, we coming right back at you, which is like low-key incredible for the NBA. But, it is not good for egos. When you a superstar with championships and you got to drop a 40-piece to stay in the game, like, to stay active, like, I love this energy. I do love this energy. I love that they... Essentially, I'm going to look at it as respecting the old heads by saying, like, we coming at you. In the spirit of how you did it, we about to do it too. We coming for you. Like, because we going to get an autograph for you after the game. We're going to swap jerseys, for your neck. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is incredible. Like, these dudes are not shook. I watch it all the time with Steph. Like, they coming for Steph. Steph is having to drop 35 to win close games, where 35 used to run the other team out the gym. Right. LeBron and AD playing well don't equal wins. Since when? Like, the formula not was the difficulty was never getting them to play well at the same time.
It reminds me, I don't think it was Kobe's last year, but maybe it was Kobe's second to last year, some preseason game. Maybe it was in Hawaii or something. And they played Golden State. And he was hounding Steph up the floor.
Yeah.
And Steph gave him a quick in and out.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Hit the three, and Kobe laughed and patted him on the butt. And that felt so symbolic to me, like the old head recognizing that, hey, Plymouth Rock is a little bit different now. Oh, Pride would say Plymouth Rock. That's Malcolm X. Pride Rock is a little different now.
Hey, you preaching now, huh? We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock landed on us. Pride Rock is a little different now. You know what I mean? Like, these young kids are coming. So now it's Steph catching it. It's LeBron catching it. It's KD catching it. That was going to be the theme of the show anyway. Marcus, that's one of the reasons I brought you here, because you can contextualize this stuff so well. But when you look at OKC and Minnesota and a few of these other teams, like, this is not what it was supposed to be, but it's exactly what it should be. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, I was watching the Pacers-Bucks play for, like, the 90th time this year. And, like, they cannot beat the Pacers, bro. It's crazy. Like, Tyrese Halliburton is skipping around, like, hitting threes and, like, just like, toying. Like, this is Giannis and Dame, healthy, on the court, playing, and Tyrese Halliburton is out here cooking them. I saw somebody sent me this tweet, man. It was incredible. We old, so we'll get it, but I don't know. Old heads will get it. But they was like, Dame went out, left the West Coast to go get cooked by Farnsworth Bentley. I was in tears. First off, I was mad because you cannot talk about Dame, because you know what I'm saying? That's town biz. That's what, you know what I'm saying? I'm riding with Dame, but that was hilarious. But, like, think about that. He came like, yo, we about to take over the East, me and Giannis, and Tyrese Halliburton is a problem. Like, this is great for the NBA, but this is how it's supposed to be. And all of these, like, veteran superstars are learning this lesson at the same time, that, hey, man, the show keep going, the guard must change, the baton must be passed, and you can hold on to it, but, man, somebody's trying to pry that thing out your hand.
It's not baton is being passed. Like, but being passed symbolizes there's like a
voluntary
transition of power. You know like, what I mean? That's like President Obama showing up at President Trump's inauguration and Michelle just sitting there looking like, ain't this a bitch? You know what I mean? Like, that's sort
you
of thing.
It's a carjacking. They come. These OGs is getting jacked up, man. Run their status, man.
Hey,
All-Stars.
quick, super quick Obama story. Because, you know, I lived in Chicago for a couple years. And, John, I promise I'm not going political. No, John is like, oh, my God, where's Minnie going? I
promise. Here we go.
No, trust me, I ain't going there. No,
you are the best storytellers in the world. Go ahead.
So a buddy of mine is telling me this story that I worked with. And there's, like, this health club next to the NBC studio that we worked at. And it's like, you know, one of those super uppity health clubs, right? That you got to have an exclusive membership to. Basically something that anyone getting into, all right? Like, it wasn't going to be my get down. So he says, before Obama became president, he used to frequent that place. It was like, you know, West Loop, Chicago. And I can't think of the name of the club, but whatever. So the guy was in there. He was hooping around, shooting threes. They were playing. It was like a break in the game. He says, Obama walks up to him. And clearly, like, Obama's, like, a guy, but not the guy. Like, people know who he is. And people on YouTube will see this gesture that I give. So Obama walks up to him, says, give me that. And literally, like, calls for the ball, like, while the dude is sitting down. It's his ball. It's his ball. And Obama's like, give me that. And my man's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, no, that's Senator Obama or whatever. You give him the ball and Obama just starts raining threes.
Hey,
like, literally
around,
right,
baby,
in front of him. That's what it feels like with these young dudes. Young dudes walk up to LeBron. Hey, LeBron, give me that. Steph, give me that.
Go ahead, give it up, man. Go ahead, give it up, man. Bill, let me get that.
But as we know, Marcus, especially these old dudes have been at the top of the hill for so long. And have changed the way that we think about aging in the NBA. This is not going to be a peaceful transition. Even for someone like Steph, who people think is cute and cuddly and not the most, you know, insatiable superstar on the planet, right? They don't think of him that way. They think of him being this light-skinned, cute dude. You know what I mean? Who's family-friendly and cute daughter and cute wife and, you know, parents and all this other type of stuff. He's insanely competitive. So when these dudes start telling him to run his pockets, that is not going to be pretty
at all. And it's going to be difficult for them. But you know what? I feel like it's going to push them. And they're already playing past like their prime in a sense of like they should already be fading out, right? They should be pretty much done, but they're not. So if you want to stay, you know what I'm saying? If you want to keep the party going longer, you got to deal with the new guests. And that's good. You know what I think it's going to be? I think we're going to see a lot of more like team building instead of superstar building, because that's what's winning now. I don't know if anybody paying attention, but super teams is getting cooked out here, and it's the complete teams. You know what I'm saying? And maybe in that sense, it's going back to like 2015, 16, right? Where it was like, all right, you got to have five or six dudes. You can't have three guys and then a bunch of nobodies, right? So like I think you're going to start seeing them calculate. We're already seeing it, you know, in some of these places, like the Lakers are about to be that way, where it was like, give me AD and LeBron and whatever. Like, nah, that whatever don't work no more.
Nope.
It can't just be Steph, Clay, Draymond, and who, like, nah, these, hey, it's squads. You better have a squad. And what we're going to see them rethink this thing, but they're still good enough to compete. Like, they're gonna fight back in that sense, right? They're going to, you know, these are, like you said, these dudes been on the top for a minute. Like, Marlo ain't trying to give up his corners easy.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So they're going to fight back. No, but
with them kids are coming. You know what I mean?
They need to take some L's. It's going to be some L's on the way. It's going to be some L's on the way, bro. It's happening.
Oh, no. Here's
Shay is cooking dudes.
you look, Marcus, we here. You're reading the minds. You're reading the minds. You are going where I want you to go because I'm already, mentally prepping myself. As opposed to spending the last couple of years in San Francisco and L.A.,
Boston,
Phoenix,
LA.
During the conference finals and, you know, getting used to the good weather, hanging out with the good people and all that. You know what my ass is going to be? My ass might be Oklahoma in Minnesota City. And Oklahoma City. Do you know how borderline depressing that is? But I'm going to see some good ball. I'm going to see some good ball.
We're not going to sleep on Minnesota. It's low-key one of the underrated cities in the NBA. Minnesota ain't bad, man. Come on. I mean, it ain't L.A., but come on. It ain't Indiana either.
I see.
I do feel like we're going to spend our – yes, we're going to be in some places that it's going to be like that. Do you feel like it's going to stay this way or are some of these stars going to migrate to the big cities at some point? Or are they just going to be cool, like setting up their kingdoms wherever they are?
See, it because of a guy like Shay who's not from here, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Shay has this appetite to just go kicking in L.A. and be a Laker. Like, I don't know. It's different.
Now, we already know Jokic don't care at all.
Jokic don't care. Does the Ant-Man care? We probably project that the Ant-Man cares. But his ego, in a good way, is probably such that why would I want to go to somebody else's team? Why don't we make Death Row over here? Why don't we make Death Row Midwest? Why am I coming to Death Row West?
Minnesota's not like a slouch town. Like that's a big area. Like that's kind of waiting to pop. You know what I'm saying? Like it's some meat on the bone in Minnesota. It's not like it's some small town where it's like there's a ceiling. I don't think it's been scratched. I mean, I just remember the KG years where it was like popping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I see what you're saying where Ant strike me as one of them dudes to be like, yeah, nah, we setting up shop right here on this porch. Like this is where it's going down. Come to me.
Come to me. And here's the thing. We think now of the Bay Area as a top 10 market. 10 years ago, we had to be told that the Bay Area was a top 10 market in terms of surprising. The NBA. And then Steph blew up and then everything sort of started to make sense. You know what I mean? I think it's some similar things there. If God forbid the Detroit Pistons ever get their mess together, you know what I mean? Like a market that is screaming for people to rally around. They won't, at least not anytime soon.
They rallied around a losing streak, player. Like they,
that's why I said anytime soon, bro. Like I'm look.
That was the most popping losing streak I ever seen in my life. I was riveted. I was into every Pistons game. Like that's crazy. Felt like a movie.
It was a movie. And thank goodness I don't travel with the team. You know what I mean? Like I was popping in and out and stuff like that. Because being around that type of losing is depressing. Okay, If you're on a regular bad team, and Marcus has covered bad teams, I've covered bad teams, you almost bond with players on bad teams that players don't think is supposed to be bad. They're trying to figure out why they're bad, and they want you to tell them, why are we this bad? I didn't see this coming. Like, they want to know the answers from you, the reporter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what do you see? Because I don't see it.
I remember them days of like, man, won't you tell me? if I had the answer, we wouldn't be this bad. Yeah, I remember them days. That's regular bad, right?
Yep.
It always blows my mind, and that's how I know I'm old. People don't know that the Warriors used to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard. Like, people don't understand. Like, it was a miserable franchise. Like, it was not a place to be. Like, remember when Baron was supposed to re-sign? He had to set up a deal, then it fell apart. He went to the Clippers. And they were out here just throwing money at everybody and ended up paying Corey Baghetti $50 million because that was the best they could get. Like, this is like circa 08.
Right,
I mean, it's 15 years ago, but it wasn't like 50 years ago. Like, when I got on the beat, they were terrible. Like, I remember they had 37 wins, and it felt like Eric Musselman got this team going somewhere. Let's go. Right? It's like Gilbert and Jay Rich and them. So, yeah, we cut our teeth on teams like that, but I ain't never covered no 28-game losing streak.
That's a whole different.
You can accidentally win a game in the NBA just by trying hard.
Exactly. Hazard pay. Now, speaking of hazard pay, Marcus is, of course, covering the now mid Golden State Warriors. A game under 500. They're closer to the bottom of the Western Conference. They're out of the play-in right now. They're 11th in the West. Or maybe with the Lakers loss last night, maybe they're both bringing up the rear as far as the play-in, right? Playing the Nuggets as of right now. We're recording this on Thursday, so they're playing the Nuggets tonight. There are certain things, and we talked about it earlier with LeBron and with KD and with Steph. You expect a Stephen Curry offense to be a top five offense, right? 12th.
Yeah.
You expect.
And that's an improvement, by the way. It was down. It was lower than that before.
Right. So they're toggling this sort of like they're in a situationship. You know what I mean, Marcus? They're not in a full relationship. They're in a situationship with young and old. Do we want to commit or do we not? And you've got these young players with these old dudes. How is this going to play? Because Trace Jackson Davis looks really good. Jonathan Kuminga is starting to come around on his own. And then, boom, Gary Payton II gets hurt. And then, boom, Klay Thompson out here giving concession speeches after games where he's talking about his basketball mortality and embracing the last chapter of his career. Is this dysfunction that can work, or is this like the house crumbling?
I think it's the realization that the plan that they had before is not the plan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they came into this thing, you know, like, They lost to the Lakers in the second round, and it was in six. Probably could have pushed it to seven. I mean, could have pushed it to seven if Klay Thompson has a better game, right?
Right.
And that's always the crutch, right? It's like, man, you know what we can do. If we would have done it, we would be fine. And you could kind of go with that argument, even though I don't think anybody expected them to beat Denver, especially in hindsight, right? That looks even more. So, you know, you could argue Western Conference Finals team, or at least one of the four best teams, a couple tweaks, we'll be fine.
Right.
That's how they went into it. They re-signed Draymond, right? Locked in with, you know, Klay and got rid of Jordan Poole, brought in Chris Paul. They kind of doubled down on that same mindset, you know. And then they hit this year, and like we was talking about before, the youngsters is like, oh, this is our league now.
Mm-hmm.
And the real unique part about the Warriors situation is, in many ways, they built this league.
Yes.
Like, they forced everybody to adjust, and now they have to deal with what they spawned. You know what I'm saying? Yep. They made this bed of everybody having to shoot threes. Everybody got to have wings. Everybody's got to be able to switch, right? You want big perimeter players and athletic bigs. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. Now the entire league is that way. And so they're like going up essentially against themselves, but the other team is younger,
yep,
and more energetic and more athletic. So I think they've all come to the realization that the plan of just like, hey, we got the championship, we just got to tweak around the edges. And it's like, nah, it's different now. And that, to me, that Clay's like public acknowledgement of that was vital, because he's one of the people who's been most adamantly sticking to, man, I'm still Clay Thompson.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah, y'all, like, yeah, this is who I, like, yeah, now just let me get it together and watch, right? And they've been kind of, that's what they've been. Like, you know what it's like, man? I know you've seen the Five Heartbeats, yes, right? It's like trying to get them back together.
They trying to get them steps
like,
done.
Yeah, trying to get them steps.
And that Jerry Curl juice is sweating, yeah, off the back of your head.
You need to let them youngsters dance, man. Let them youngsters dance. You just sitting back and two-stepping when your part comes. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep it smooth. But they still trying to, like, I think they've hit that. And the real difficult part is Steph can still rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but he can't do it by himself. Like, that's out the picture now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we said with Bron. Ain't no more, oh, I got this. Like, the league is so much younger, so much more athletic, and also everybody shoots threes.
Yep.
So it's not like they can make up that difference, right? Like they can play hard, and like you ain't gonna run away from these dudes no more. I mean, look at Orlando, it's the worst shooting three-point team in the league. And last night they hit 25. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, this is the league now. So I do feel like everybody's got to do a new plan. And I think we're gonna see the Warriors do that. The Warriors and the Lakers are going to be the two where we see first adjust. Phoenix might just be baked in.
Right.
They might just have to, right, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they went super team route and it ain't working. And I don't think they're flexible enough,
right,
to kind of do anything on the fly. So we're going to have to see, can these OGs adjust to figure out how to win in the league? Like, this Ant Edwards league now, this Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's league, this is Nikola Jokic league. Like, they dictate style of play and how this goes. I think these players, these superstars, are good enough to win in this league. They got to figure it out, though. It ain't going to be like it was 3 years ago.
It ain't never going to be like it was. It's so funny, Marcus, that you talk about Orlando being the worst shooting team in the league. I was looking up the numbers on the Lakers, right, the other day. And I was like, man, the Lakers shot really well on Christmas Day and still got blown out. And I was like, wait, why is everybody saying the Lakers don't have shooters? The Lakers as a team, the day I looked it up, Marcus, they were shooting 36% from three. I'm like, that's not a number of a bad team. And then where did they rank? Like 18th or 20th or something like that at 36% in the NBA from three? That doesn't sound right. You know what I mean? Like everybody's supposed to shoot 38, 39 is the norm now. You know what I mean? Like Steph, those years where Steph was shooting 43, 44 from three, he almost has to do that to keep the Warriors in games. Not, like you said, not blowing them out, not getting guys and, you know, running away and hiding and all that stuff. That is literally just the line of that's child support. This is what's expected of you. You know what I mean? Like that's where the Golden State Warriors are. That's what the entire NBA is, unfortunately, right now. And you brought it up, Marcus. The way that the Warriors were built, they're still behaving as if this is 2017 or 2018. They just don't have Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Like we have the formula. It's like basically, yeah, Marcus, being the first house in a new subdivision. You got the first new build. Everything is new when you get it. And then all your cousins start moving in, except your cousins got all the amenities in your house and it's better than yours. You got the same house that you had and when it was new and fresh, and now all of a sudden it ain't new and fresh no more. And you got to go play catch up. And I don't know if what that means is leveraging Chris Paul. What do you do with Draymond Green? What do you do with Kuminga? Like, what players do you see them saying, okay, these are the young pieces that we're going to keep and invest in compared to the ones that we're going to mortgage?
that's going to be the tough part. But to be honest, man, I think it's going to be up to the market. I don't think they have the luxury of deciding. Here's who we putting out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Steph is 35. He's about to be 36 in like 2 months.
Yep.
He's still really good. He's still a top shelf NBA star, and you got to do something about that. And it may, like, Chris Paul is playing great. Like, Chris Paul is, he's looking good. His shot's coming back now, so he's really looking good. He's in many ways exactly what they need. You know, the Warriors love to kick the ball around and, you know, turnover happy. Like, Chris Paul be like, yo, give me the rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, calm down, everybody. Like, in many ways, that's what they need. But he's a $30 million expiring contract, and he might be more valuable as a trade chip just for this team and what they need.
Right.
Because the truth is, the idea of we got to win a championship right now might be out the window. It might be like, how are we going to win a championship in the next 3 years? Because right now, it's going to be tough. Like, they don't even have that. Like, if you just go around to, if you, like, somebody sent me this question, I didn't know what to answer. Like, who are the second and third best players on the Warriors?
Ooh.
Like, not name, but like production and like where they are right now. Like, it's tough to answer. You want to say Klay Thompson, but it ain't been Klay.
No.
You're right. You want to say Andrew Wiggins, but it ain't been Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? If it's Draymond, that's a real, Draymond's been great, but he ain't been there. Right. So right. It's like, what does that get you? You know, so it's like, if it's Chris Paul, like, that's your second best players, like the 39-year-old, you know, like, they're in this tough bind where I think they just got to kind of go, or it's like, hey, we got our eyes on this player. This is the player that's going to take us into the future. What will it take?
Right.
I do think Steph is obviously untouchable. I just don't see them trading Klay. And I think it'll be tough to trade Draymond, but even if they wanted to, I don't know that the value is there at this point.
Right.
So I don't think the core gets broken up, but I do think it's very clear they need to do something. Like, it's we could easily put out the same piece for like the Lakers, except, you know, the coach is just established here. Like, everybody knows Steve Kerr is good, but it's the same nobody's happy piece.
Hey, y'all, it's Vinny. At this point in the recording, Marcus had to switch microphones. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up in case you were wondering why his voice sounded a little bit different from here on out. Also, the discussion about Draymond Green occurred before the announcement about his return to play plan came out. Now, back to the show. So, Marcus, since you just brought up Draymond Green, I feel like we have to talk about Draymond Green. Him and the team have been away from each other. Well, Draymond has been doing counseling and under suspension. And it's like, you know, Draymond Green's like, you know, the kid at school that bites people. And they call your parent and they're like, all right, he's at it again. He bit somebody. All right, who'd he bite? Where'd he bite him at? And like, oh, he bit them there? Okay, he's going to have to spend some time away. And Steve Kerr said something to the effect of, we're giving each other space. If that doesn't sound like a relationship metaphor, I don't know what that is. How much do they miss Draymond Green, for one, Marcus? And B, are they anxious to get him back? How difficult is that transition going to be, reassimilating him back into Golden State?
Well, that's a, you know, in keeping with your relationship metaphor, that's a two-pronged thing, right? Right.
You're going to have to come on for the Love Doctor episode, Mark.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, I could use it, actually. So there's this part of Draymond, like, on the court that they just aren't as good without him. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Especially in those like, critical moments, right? Those high-leverage moments, end of games. Like, they have a hard time getting stops. Like, you can get what you want from them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get what you want from them. And if they end up saying, all right, we're going to put our best defenders in, then they can't score. So they got that kind of dilemma. Whereas Draymond, he'll give you the defense. And even though he's not a scorer, his offense has been, you know, was much better this year. But
his facilitating is giving you something out there. So you,
right.
That was a strength. Like, it's kind of like what we were saying before, where remember how Draymond was kind of the game changer. He's really a small forward, but he could guard centers and he could keep the pace fast and all that. Now everybody's got a small ball center, right? Like, so everybody's got their version of a Draymond. But man, just when it comes to like locking up and guarding, they're always either at point of attack getting cooked or one or two passes from getting beat. And Draymond, that's his thing, man. It's like help side defense, being a quarterback of the defense. Like, they miss that. They miss the ability for it to say, hey, Shea cooking everybody, go get him, right? Or Lucas cooking, go get him. So they miss him on the court in that sense. They really miss like what he brings to the table defensively and facilitating. They miss his pace. You know, they play, you know, Chris Paul, they play slow. That's the only thing with Chris Paul. They're better fast. Steph is better fast. And whatever makes Steph better makes the Warriors better. So they miss his pace. Now, the other side of that, it's like, you know, you in a relationship and there's like what we do for each other and these like kind of staple fundamental things we bring to the table. But then there's that like, it ain't really good right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't really talking, but we handling business. Who you picking up the daughter? Yeah, I'm picking her out. You going grocery shopping? You know what I'm saying? I think they are happy right now. Like, there's, and it's like Draymond is, it can be a part of that happiness when he's on his A game.
Right.
But with Draymond has been all the drama. Mm-hmm. Right. It's been the constant scrutiny. So you kind of get the sense of, like, hey, there's like, it's a different vibe. It's a little more chill. Now, they're not as good, but they feel far more like they're having more fun.
Right.
Like, you could tell they feel. That's why it was when Steve Kerr says, you know, we're giving him his space and he giving us our space. I was like, yo, that's a bar. But big bar. When he said that, I was thinking like, you know what? I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, people are just, you know, like, nobody's asking them all the time about Draymond. Nobody's talking about the league's choices and decisions or trying to break. Like, it's just not in the room right now. So, but I do think they miss him. I do think they need him back. They need Draymond back, though. They don't need the dude who constantly in this mess, right? That's the one they miss. They miss the leader, they miss the vocal guy, they miss the mentor, the young dudes, you know, they miss the defensive player. What they don't miss is the dude who at every moment could turn this into something different, right? Like, that's the part they need to get rid of. Because remember, like you said, man, they got a lot of youngsters around now. It's not just a bunch of old heads. And unlike in the past, where they could be like, hey, youngster, you ain't really that good, so have a seat. Now they need these youngsters.
Right.
They're like, hey, man, we can't really, we down 11. We need something. What you got? Right. What you got, right, Kuminga?
Right.
What you got, Moody? Like, we need you. So it's the two part, right? Like, it's at some point they got to get Draymond to the point where it's not about the, I don't want to say off the court stuff because it's actually on the court.
Right.
But the non-basketball stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Where that's not a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's. And we remember, like, it was worse last year with Jordan Poole, obviously, because, you know, that involves something more serious. But this was more just like, hey, man, we just, like, they're not good enough to exist with the chaos around. Like the Warriors, as you know, you've been in the locker, you know, the Warriors always keep something going, bro.
Yes.
Always keep something going. It's always something. They used to be good enough to be like, it's cool. We can power through that. Now they need chemistry. They need peace. They need every ounce of everything to be the highest functioning team they can, and that might get them to the play-in.
Maybe it may get them to where we got a one game situation like the Draymond thing.
You know what I'm saying?
The relationship thing with Draymond is interesting. It's almost like being around two people or being one of the two people in a relationship. And this is certainly not me. I'm just hypothesizing here, right? And you're just in a place with a person, right? And it's like, you want to watch a movie? You want something to eat? But you ain't saying it with no warmth. You ain't saying it with no joy. You just like, y'all just on opposite ends of the spectrum and you're just doing it because it's custom. You're not doing it because you want to be there. You're not doing it because it's kindness and all this other stuff. Want something to eat? We're going to the grocery store. You want something?
Let's take it even deeper. You know, the crazy part is, but you're doing that because you really want normal back, but you're just too proud. You know what I'm saying? To be like, hey, can we just get back to where we were? So you like, you want some food? Like, I'm going to try to be nice, but I got to be hard because I'm still mad at you. You know what I'm saying?
Got to keep it up. I can't break. I can't be the one to break.
And that's the real thing, man. Like, Draymond, this is the part I should write this. This is the part people don't understand. They love Draymond. Like, they love him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. and I feel like many of us know this because we got the family members who are like that. Like, man, I love this dude. And what'd he do this time? You know what I'm saying?
Every
like that.
Time, dog. But, Every time.
But that's my dog. Like, that's my brother. Like, they love Draymond. So when he's there, like, when Draymond is Draymond, it's like, it's great. Like, they love Draymond. Even you can hear him talking about him now. Some dudes will like, they will fight you about Draymond. Like, Juan Toscano Anderson will fight you about Draymond. Like, he was there for like 2 years. He's like, nah, that's my, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Steph will fight you about Draymond. Like, they love Draymond. But then it's also like, you know, hey, man, we kind of need you to be on your P's and Q's. Can you get on your P's and Q's?
Right.
You ain't on your P's and Q's. So I feel like that analogy was great because it is like, man, we really need you here. We really want you here. We want the best version of you. But right now, like,
can you just act right? That's what it is.
You want something? You want something from the snow? All right. Like, it's really deep down, you're crying. Like, can we just get back to where we were? This was incredible what we had. Why are we doing this? At some point, they're going to get to that point where it actually means, you actually like, hey, baby, here's some food. Let me feed you.
I see. I can't relate to such things. That's a step beyond my scope, okay? Maybe I got too much pride in such situations. But you know what I mean?
I've been married for 23 years. If you don't know how to, you should got to spend some nights on the couch, bro. The doghouse just has to, you got to make your doghouse comfortable because you're going to be in it at some point.
Once again, and once again, put a pin in that, because guess who's going to get a text from our friend Monica McNutt about having these relationship conversations about this? Every time I bring up something, Monica is hitting me like, so this how you kicking it, bro? Like, this is how Monica comes at me, because I came with the love doctor idea from having a podcast with Monica, because we would always just kick it about different stuff. And every time I bring something up, our homegirl Monica be hitting me up like, so I'm listening to your podcast. I'm like, God damn it.
Here we go.
That's what it is. 23 years, Marcus. I got you. I cannot relate to peers being married for 23 years. Like, you know, like, that's generations, right. Like your parents and all that. Like, you get that. Like, peers, baby.
The old people at church, yeah.
That's a whole different ballgame. That's like a whole different world. But peers, completely different ballgame. Speaking of non-committal people, right? Kevin Durant. See how that works? Nice transition.
Man, people, you were made for this, bro.
Inability to commit, right? Kevin Durant in Phoenix. It looked promising on paper. He, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. It didn't look like a natural fit, but you were always going to have the questions. What happens when somebody gets hurt? Boom, Bradley Beal gets hurt as soon as they get there. And now they are in slightly better shape than the Lakers and Golden State, but not that much better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And KD is now missing time. They lost to the Clippers last night. Beal is back. Booker's there. So they got two of the three guys. How do you look at, what is their outlook for the present? And like you said earlier, they mortgaged their whole future to get Bradley Beal. They mortgaged their whole future to get KD almost a year ago. Like, what is the outcome going to be here? Is it going to be, is this a second round team? Or is that like the high watermark for these guys?
I mean, I would have said before, like, get them in the playoffs. You'll see Book and KD. They'll go crazy. And it'll be fine, right? Like, that's what it's been, but I'm becoming more and more convinced that that's not it anymore. That's not the formula. Because when you start looking at some of these teams that are like really good, you got to worry about number six, player number six. And yep. he ain't no star, but yep. he will cook you if yep. you don't guard. If you, yep. you know what I'm saying? Like, you will get cooked.
You got to worry about the Jalen Williams of the world and the Jaden McDaniels of the world. Not shading those guys, but I'm saying they're not the names on the marquee.
But they will, they can have marquee games. They can produce like marquee. And that's the difference. I mean, I feel like Phoenix is in trouble because like Eric Gordon is looking at this like, hey, yo, y'all might as well give me the ball more. Like, like yo, it's woo. Eric Gordon is like, hey, what are we doing? Like, run me the rock. Like, you got to, like, Grayson Allen is a really good player for them. But, like, that might be their...
Too much Grayson Allen.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. So, it's like, the problem they have is they don't have that, like, young future coming up. And that's going to be a little difficult. So, I do feel like there's a part of Phoenix Suns that will settle in the playoffs. Because the one thing we haven't seen, well, see, that's different too, because like Minnesota's already been through a couple playoff series. Like, them dudes have already been tested, even though they're young, right?
Right.
You're looking at Denver, like Braun was, Christian Brown was playing in the finals as a rookie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. So these dudes kind of got some, like, they're not as young as they seem to be. So it's like, all right, they kind of more willing to match up. You don't have the, man, I've done this before. I got more in this skin in the game than you. Like, that don't really fly like it used to. I mean, we saw Austin Reeves in the playoffs last year. Like, yo, that dude was ready to cook. So to me, I just worry about, there's a part of me that feels like Phoenix will be better in the playoffs where the setting is a little different. Mm. The games are a little different. Mm-hmm. Book is still going to be Book. You still got KD. If Bradley Beal's healthy, he's still a good player. But you got to be able to play defense.
Yes.
I don't know what they're going to do about that at the, like, they got point of attack, defensive issues.
Yep.
You got to have depth.
Yep.
And they don't have depth. They don't have depth. So, in the end, I think there's a ceiling on where they go. It's going to take a 30, was KD 34?
Yeah. He's a year younger than Steph, right?
I think so, yeah. So, it's going to take, or I mean, Book could do it too. I mean, it's hard to say anything about Book is incredible, but it's tough after watching what Luka did to them. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what the anomaly in all this is? The Clippers. The anomaly is the Clippers. They're like the old team who kind of like play like the youngsters, though.
Marcus, I've been saying this. I said it when they made the trade, and I brought it up a little bit a couple of days ago when it was just me and John. And I was like, look, this could be the year that the Clippers could just sort of sneak through, not even sneak through, because they're not sneaking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Harden is playing real good ball. Kawhi looks healthy. PG is playing real good ball. Like you said, they're the old guys with like tread on their tires, but not really because they've been hurt. So they ain't played all these games. They just been hurt. You know what I mean?
And then you throw Russ like off the bench. He's like the energy guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the young gunner coming off the bench. Like, They kind of rock like the youngsters a little bit.
They are the scariest team, and I remove Denver from all that because they're the champions. Yeah. The Clippers are the scariest team in the West because if Kawhi's healthy, and that dude is a playoff terminator, and then you slide down James Harden to being your third best player, where you're not asking him to win you a game anymore, you're just asking him to be a reasonable version of himself. And then you got Ty Lue, who coaches circles around everybody in a playoff series.
And you still got Paul George.
And you still got Paul George. Like there's something that I'm not sure what it is there. Quietly, and I think this is what it comes down to, Marcus. This is a much better Western Conference than it's been the past couple years.
No question. It's loaded. Do you know what it has, though? It's got a really high ceiling, but it's got a high implosion rate.
Yes, it does.
It's highly combustible. Like the Clippers are kind of like the perfect embodiment of that. Like, they might be incredible, but man, boom, it could be over like that.
Look,
it could be done.
think about this. Memphis, who's been incredible since Ja Morant came back, but were incredibly bad when he wasn't playing. Can they make up enough games you know what I mean, to sneak in. And if they do sneak in, are they knocking out Golden State? Are they knocking out the Lakers? Are they knocking out the Phoenix Suns? Like, for someone to come up, someone must come down. But they're dangerous. You know, they're dangerous. Minnesota's dangerous because
Sacramento is dangerous.
Look, I don't know how much faith you can have in the Karl Towns operation, but I got faith in the Anthony Edwards operation. You know what I mean? Like, it's the weirdest thing in the Western Conference right now, man.
It is far more loaded than we thought it would be. And you know what? The crazy part is the teams that are like mid, they still have a pretty high ceiling. Yep. Like LeBron, AD player, they're still tough outs, man. These ain't just, you know, it's like, there ain't no easy win, Cletus. Like, you're going to have to take them out. Like, you're going to have to take Steph out. Like, it's still tough. And they mid. That's the mid team.
You know, this is what I miss. I miss best of five in the first round. This Western Conference, and the thought just came to me, Marcus. This Western Conference, if the first round were best of five, that makes LeBron more dangerous. It's a short series. It makes Steph and KD more dangerous out because those guys can give you a game, right? LeBron can be the best player on the planet. On a given game, Stephen Curry can do all the things he did in 2016. On a given game, Kevin Durant can be quietly. Kevin Durant was like the best player in the league for like 6 years straight. We just wasn't fixing our mouths to say it out loud. But on a given game, all of those guys can take it back there. They just can't do it for multiple playoff series.
That's the thing,
because these guys are too good. But if it's a five-game series, Marcus, the urgency is there. You can't give away a game two at the crib.
Yeah, nah. But also, they might need that extra game just in case they slip up a couple. Like, hold on. Dang, we down 2-1 already. Like,
but
some of them are gonna want that 7 game series.
I don't think none of the.
But
you
right
none
though.
Of, I don't think none of them want.
That's why the West is loaded because, I mean, if you look at the top, Minnesota, Oklahoma City Thunder, right? I think Sacramento might be 4 or 5, or the Clippers,
Clippers are 4.
Clippers are 4, right? Like, look at these, you know. Warriors, Lakers, Suns are 9, 10, 11. Dallas is 7. Like, think about that. Like, you get a top seed, you might be seeing Steph or Luka or Bron or KD. Like, you gotta, like, that's crazy. I mean, if you just look at the Eastern Conference comparison, right? If you look at the Eastern Conference, like, you might get the Nets.
You might get Cleveland.
Or the Hawks. Yeah, like, all right. I mean, those are good teams, but.
We ain't
bro, can't imagine like
we
yeah,
ain't
that's
scared
that's
of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the West is crazy, and we saw that happen to Memphis. Right, they got the Lakers, the revamped Lakers, and got bounced up out of there. So, Sacramento got bounced up out of there by the Warriors. Like that's the difficult. That's how crazy the West is. That them dudes is like scraping to get out the play in right now. That's crazy.
But on the other hand. As opposed to being afraid that LeBron is coming into your building for a game one, you're saying, hey, y'all, we got a chance to put these dudes out.
Put them out the pasture.
We got a chance to get, and there's a saying that I have for Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, and to bring it back. And I say it with all humility. Every Pistons championship banner from that era got Michael Jordan's blood on it, right? Got his blood on it. Can you imagine what it would be like for one of these dudes to come and say, hey, y'all, we got Steph Curry's blood on this banner. We got LeBron's blood on this banner.
No, that's how it's got to be, bro. That's how it's got to be. That's when you're real. That's when you're real, yeah?
Don't run from it. Here's the thing.
You know what I love about these dudes?
What's that?
They're going to dap them up. Like, all right, youngster, you did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you beat KD, KD going to dap you up like, All right. This is what I would have done.
Right.
So I respect it. Yeah.
I think Steph would rather lose to one of these young dudes than to lose to LeBron.
Oh, 1,000%.
Or lose to KD.
Or KD, yeah, 1,000%.
Oh, no, he ain't
That's the thing about Warriors Phoenix. I remember saying, if they play Phoenix, I don't know. They might be more willing to die on the court. They might have one series in them if they if they play KD, can you imagine Draymond playing KD in a series?
Oh my god,
like he ain't gonna want to lose that game. He's not going to want
what
to lose.
What lengths will Draymond Green go to ensure that he doesn't lose? Wait, you mean hit Yusef Nurkic in the face? Did that already, y'all?
Did that already? That's light there. Nah, he gonna want to stay on the court for that one. Nah, that's the thing. Like, I think you're right. I think there's a part of them. I mean, I think they like this, man. If you see them, they put their arm around each other. Like, yeah. Who don't love Ant Edwards?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I was in the locker room. They was watching highlights of Shea. Like, hey, man, shaking their head at, hey, this dude is smooth, right? Like, you know, they see what's happening. And they're all, like, old enough to remember the glory days, but still kind of with it enough to know, like, this is what they did. And you know what they love the most? All of them. You know what they love? That Kobe felt the same way about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's only right that they turn around and dap up them youngsters who come in for they, you know what I'm saying? Because that's, you can't be running around here talking about mama mentality and I rock with Kobe and then be mad because somebody coming for your spot. Like, that's the game. The game is the game, yo.
Hey, it's the circle of life, baby.
It's the circle of life, yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Marcus Thompson. Thank you, Marcus, for giving us some of your time today. Marcus gave us, we went all around the spectrum with Marcus. We went to marriage metaphors. We talked about President Obama doing the, we did all of that. We didn't expect to go there, but we did. We went there because Marcus is such a good dude. Really appreciate you. Don't forget to go buy his books, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and of course the book. What's the name of the book on KD? Why do I can't remember the book on KD?
KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. You can't remember it because it's incredibly long on purpose. Like, I don't know why they did that. Just Golden and KD, that's all.
Yeah, and also his book on the 10
and dynasties.
The dynasties of the NBA. Don't forget, he also has a podcast, Warriors Plus Minus, and they have a great team over there at The Athletic. Of course, anytime I go over to the Bay, like for a playoff series or even just a couple days, man, I have a ball. So really appreciate it. Marcus, anything else you got to promote? Like, you know, any of your kids like world famous authors yet or anything?
Man, we just trying to get out of U.S. history right now. You know what I'm saying? We trying to get over the pre-calculus hump. Nah, we good, man. I want to promote you. You know what I'm saying? You've been out here. You've been nice. I'm still mad you didn't, you know, your listeners should know I tried to get you to come out here. We ain't having that. We couldn't afford you. That's what it came down to. We can't afford. I wanted you out here. You know what I'm saying? I felt like we could have wrecked shop together. But, you know, you was big time, and I get it. You know. But, man, I wanted you out here because you nice. You one of the best in the nation, man. I appreciate you always.
I appreciate you saying that, man. You know, we got to give each other our flowers, especially the brothers. Because ain't nobody else going to do it but us. So, once again, I appreciate you, Marcus. Thanks again to producer John and the entire team that works behind the scenes. Jake and Dan will be back for another episode of No Cap Room tomorrow. And then the schedule goes back to normal next Monday. Here will be me. Next Wednesday will also be the next episode of The Good Word Monday and Wednesday compared to Tuesday and Thursday this week because of the holiday. Until then, everybody be safe.